All right, Tavosai, good morning. Let's begin. So today's daf is Chof Ches 28. I want to thank Yehuda for giving the shir yesterday. We are going to pick up at the Mishnah. So we have a two interesting sugyas today. Bless you. Which we will, Amir Hashem, do a little bit halacha. So also just one other announcement. Thanks to Dr. Elman, we do have extra copies of the Mishnah Hashem. We ran out, Baruch Hashem. So if you would like your copy, I have about 8 left. That's for the shir at 5:45 in the mornings. So, I'm sorry? Just 3 times chai, and it's yours each one. No, I'm just kidding. So really, if you do want, I literally have 8 more, so just you can see me after the shir. So says the Mishnah, Hamevi get v'enichu zakin ochos. We'll say chav ches amud aleph, about 10 lines down from the top. So this is an interesting case. So Hamevi get, so this is talking about a shliach who is bringing a get on behalf of the husband. And when the shaliach took leave of the husband himself was a zakin, was old, or was chole, or was sick. So we'll say, so the obvious shaila that the Mishnah, although it's an unspoken shaila, the obvious shaila is, can the shaliach go ahead and deliver the get under the assumption that the husband is still alive, knowing that when he took leave of the husband was already sick and old, to which the Mishnah says, "No sin law becheskas shehu kayim." So the shaliach has the ability to deliver the get with the chazaka, with the assumption, with the presumption, I should say, that the husband in fact is still alive. So take a look at Rashi. No sin law becheskas shehu kayim, says Rashi. V'lo chashin on shamameis. We do not have to be concerned with the possibility. We do not have to be choshish for the fact that perhaps the husband died. So obviously, if the husband died, ubatel shlichuso. Remember again, if the husband did die, then the shlichus itself is batel. The shlichas is null and void. Here Rashi points out again, basically, from Sechus Schulim, that we learn out the concept of chazaka midaraisa. Right? We learn out the concept of chazaka. Ultimate concept of chazaka is a biblical concept. So it says the Mishnah goes weiter. So now what the Mishnah is operating is with the principle that when you take leave of someone, or we'll see when someone takes leave of you, you assume that there is a cheskas chayim. There's a chazaka that a person is still alive. So another application of this principle, bas Yisrael nesul kohen. So we'll say, let's say you have a bas Yisrael, so the daughter of a Yisrael who's ultimately married to a kohen. We'll say, obviously, as a result of her marriage to a kohen, she's entitled to what? She's entitled to eat truma. V'halach b'ayla l'medina sayam, and her husband goes overseas. So we'll say, so remember, again, he goes overseas, and the assumption over here in these situations is she does not have contact with him. So therefore, again, the shayla is he still alive? Is he not alive? So the halacha is, ocheles b'truma b'cheskas shehu kayim. So she is permitted to continue to eat truma with the chazaka, with the presumption that he is still alive. Hashaliach chatosim dinas. And one last application of this principle: if someone sends a chatos from overseas, a carbon chatos from overseas, makriven osa becheskas shukayim. So we'll say, so in this case over here, someone sends a chatos from overseas. The carbon arrives in the Beis Hamikdash, and the obvious shaila is the owner of the carbon still alive? Remember again, you can't offer up a carbon on behalf of someone who is deceased. So therefore, if a carbon arrives from overseas, the assumption is that the owner of the carbon is still alive, and therefore the carbon may be offered. So we'll say we're going to see 3 different applications, essentially of the same basic principle, which is that if somebody is alive or was alive at the last known point of contact, so we assume that lemais again they are still alive in the present moment as well. Says the Gemara, Amar Rava. So Rava wants to qualify this concept, and he says lo shanu ella. There was an aloshana ela means the following. In the case of get, when we say that if the husband dispatches a shaliach to go out and deliver the get, that we assume that the husband is still alive. And the Mishnah said, even if what? Even if he was old, or even if he was sick, when is that true? Lo shanu ela zakein shohigia legvuros. That's only assuming that he is a zakein who has not reached the age of gvura. So what's the age of gvura? Rashi says, shmonim shana lishna dikra. Right? V'im b'gvuros shmonim shana. I just remember based on the pasuk in Tehillim. So lamaisa again, when do we assume that the husband is alive? That's only if he hasn't reached the age of gvuros, 80. However, again, once he's reached the age of 80, then what Rabbi say? all bets are off, right? And therefore, again, you can't assume that a person is still alive. Similarly, v'chola, shirav cholim l'chaim. Similarly, also, when we speak about the fact that a chola has a chazaka of being alive, that's a stam chola, because we assume most people who are ill do in fact recover. However, aval zakin shiegi l'gvuros, but if you have an old person who already reached the age of 80, the goseis, and above say a person is a goseis. Now the definition of a goseis is an interesting discussion in general, because remember again, a goseis essentially is someone who's suffering from a terminal condition that in general will die within the next couple of months. It's actually an interesting machlokis in halacha in terms of what's the right term? In terms of how, in what window does a person normally die from a particular illness in order to be called a goseis? So some poskim say 3 months, some poskim say 6 months, some poskim even say 12 months. The idea is that a person has a terminal condition from which, according to general nature, they will die within a short amount of time. Aval goseis, aval zak shegil gvuros, goseis shirav gosin lemisa lo. So what I say, so therefore Rava comes along and says that the Mishnah's halacha, that if the shaliach is delivering the get on behalf of someone who is a zakin, that he could assume that the husband is still alive, really is only in a situation where A, he's younger than 80 years old, or B, he's sick, but he just has what's called stama sickness, but not a goseis. Because if he's above 80, or at the end of the day, if he's a goseis, then in fact the chashash is what? Then in fact he will die imminently. So the Gemara says, Eisve Abaye, Sabaye raises a kasha, Hamevi get v'niach zaken, afilu ben mea shana, no sin la becheska shugayim. So we'll say, but Abaye brings a braise. What does the braise say? That if you're delivering a get on behalf of someone, and even if what? Even if the husband was, what I will say, was 100 years old, the shaliach could deliver the get on the basis that, I'm sorry? Whatever, it's part of the problem. It's part of the problem over here, right? So what happens? So she can't keep up with him, right? So what happens? So again, say here the husband is 100 years old. So what does the braisa say? The braisa says that the shaliach could go ahead and deliver the get, could deliver the get, even though the husband is 100 years old. Becheska shukayim. So must I see, here we have even 100. So tiyufta, this seems to refute the position of Rava, to which the Gemara says, v'ibayisim, but the other possibility is, kevan de iflig iflig. Now we'll say, this is interesting. Take a look at Rashi. Kevan de iflig, mishar derech kala aret sheherich yam ad meyashana iflig, ve'eno kishar ha'adam liyos karav lamos. So we'll say, listen to this. The other possibility is, once a guy is 100, meaning once you've reached the age of 100, you've clearly differentiated yourself from the norm. And once you've differentiated yourself from the norm, you have put yourself in a dramatically different category. Look at Rashi. Iflig ve'eino kishara adam. Meaning, so once a person has, Baruch Hashem, been blessed with such incredible longevity, they clearly differentiate themselves from the norm. So ve'eino kishara adam liyos karav lamos. Aval ben shmonim ve'achos o yosir atishim karav lamos. So this is actually very interesting. So Rashi actually adds in over here is like this. Apparently, according in Rashi's view, is like this. Between the ages of 80 and 90, the chazoka is that what? That a person's going to die. If a person, and it doesn't sound very, you know, don't be careful how you use this, right? So, however, again, once a person reaches the age of 90, they've clearly established themselves, Baruch Hashem, that they have the bracha of longevity. And therefore, kind of, once you get over that 80 to 90, you know, hump over there, so the mice, again, then you've differentiated yourself. Once you've differentiated yourself, then interestingly enough, the chazoka is that what? That you have longevity, and therefore, again, you're going to live. So, Rami le Abaye the Rabbo, Sabaye raised the kasha, Abaye posed the contradiction to Rabbo, I should say, Abaye brought up 203 braises to Rabbo, Tanan, Hamevi get ve nicho zakin achola, no sinna becheska shukayim. So, once remember, our Mishnah said that if the shaliach took leave of the husband, and the husband was old or was ill, still the shaliach could go ahead and deliver the get based on the chazaka that the husband is still alive. Or minus, let's pose a contradiction. What's the contradiction? Hari zegiteich sha'achas kodim lemisaso asura le'echo b'truma miyat. But yet, if we go ahead and we contrast that to with another braisa, what does the braisa say? A man says to his wife, this is your get retroactively, 1 moment before I die. So we actually spoke about this case a little bit on Friday. So husband says again, I don't want to divorce you, but instead what I want to happen is, when I die, the get will be triggered retroactively 1 moment before I die. And I also remember again, This is a case where a husband essentially wants to divorce his wife, but doesn't want to divorce his wife while he's alive. He only wants the divorce to be triggered when he dies. Now, again, remember, so you can't give a get la'achar misa. There's no get after death. The reason a husband could want to do this for a variety of reasons. The most simplest reason is avoidance of yibum. That's the simplest reason, right? He doesn't want to have to fall to yibum to his brother. He's dying without children, and therefore it triggers the get retroactively one moment before his death. Interesting, the halacha is, if a husband creates a get situation like this, asura lecho b'truma miyad. The Bible says she is prohibited to eat truma immediately now. Take a look at Rashi. Asura lecho, basisra hanasura nekoen, shalchalas b'shvilo, asura miyad. Dechol shaita chayshinan ach shav yamos, alma chayshinan lemisa. So the Bible says, listen to this. In this case over here, let's say she is a basisra who's married to a kohen. Therefore, she's eating truma as a result of her marriage to this particular man. So what's the halacha? The halacha is she may not eat truma starting now. Why? What are we concerned about? He might die any moment. And therefore, again, lemaise could be that retroactively, this is the moment that she is divorced. And therefore, again, she may not eat truma. So what do you see from here? You see from here that we are choshesh in lemisa. We are choshesh that people die. So you understand the contradiction. In the Mishnah, we're saying that even if the husband is old or is sick and he dispatches the shaliach to go ahead and deliver the get, the shaliach has the ability to go ahead and continue on the shlichus under the assumption that the husband is still alive. And yet, in this second case where he's giving her the get that will be chal one moment before his death, she may not eat truma already starting now. Why? Because we're choshesh that maybe he's going to die any moment, and if retroactively, again, she may be divorced in this very moment, and therefore she can't eat truma. So you assume here that what? That we're choshesh that people die. So it's a contradictory inference. From the Mishnah, we infer that the chazaka is people don't die, people are still alive. But from the Braisa, we indicate that what? We're choshesh that people will die, and therefore trigger the retroactivity clause, and therefore she can't eat truma starting now. First of all, to which Rabbah says, remember the Zabai is Kasha to Rabbah. So to which Rabbah says, come on, it's apples and oranges. You're comparing Gittin to Truma. Here's the difference. Truma Efsher, Get Lo Efsher. So it says a very simple idea. Truma, remember, it's Efsher. What does it mean it's Efsher? Let her eat something else. Truma is not the only food that's available. So again, here, there is a way to manage this doubt in a simple way by having her eat non-truma items. Get lo efshor. What does it mean get lo efshor? Look at Rashi. Lemecha shlemisa. Tichayshis eim lecha sholeach get l'ishto behin agunos. The Bible says, if you are choshesh lemisa by get, then what? You can never have a shaliach deliver. Forget about a zakin or a chola. You can never have shlichos by get. Why? Because every single time the shliach takes leave of the husband, he has to be choshesh that what? That the guy's going to drop dead. And therefore, again, there's no possibility for getting. So therefore, Rabbi says to Abaye, your contradiction is not a contradiction. By truma, we could leverage the risk. Fine, you want to be concerned that maybe he's going to die? Fine, let her eat something else. By stam getting, if you're choshesh that the husband died, you can never deliver a get on behalf of a husband. So the Gemara says, okay, so I'll do one better. Verami truma, truma. So let's pose a contradiction between one case of truma and the other case of truma. How so? So the Gemara says, if you have a Bas Yisrael who is married to a Kohen, and her husband went overseas. The Rabbi said, this is also our Mishnah. What's the halacha? She can continue to eat truma with the chazaka that what? That the husband is still alive. Fine. So Rabbi says, so that tells you that when it comes to matters of truma, we assume that the husband is still alive. Or minhus, let's pose a contradiction. If a man says to his wife, this is your get for one moment before I die, asura lecho b'truma miyad, then what's the halacha? She can't eat truma already immediately. So Rabbi says, so now, here are two cases of truma, and yet based on our Mishnah, it sounds like when it comes to truma, we assume the husband is alive, but yet again, by this case of harizyagiteich sha'achas kodem l'misasi, we see that again, we're choshesh that he's going to die, therefore the retroactivity clause is going to be triggered, and therefore we tell you cannot eat truma even as of now. So Rabbi says, contradiction. Amar Ravacha b'Reid Rav Yitzchak Shaini Hasam Shari Asra Alav Sha'achas Kodem Misasam. This case is different. Why? Because the husband himself has prohibited upon his wife that this get will take effect one moment before I die. Now, what does that mean? Take a look at Rashi. Shaini hasam shahari asra sha'achas kodem lemisa. So, the olam lo chashinan lemisa. In reality, we're not normally choshesh that a person is just going to die. The shiny hacha, this case, however, is different. Shari asra mechayim sha'achas kodem misaso. So Rebbe said, this case is different because in this case over here, he put in here a retroactivity clause. And therefore, again, the issue over here is that lamaisa, this clause, is triggered ultimately one moment from before he dies. Sha'achas kodem misaso. V'choshaita, Ivar, what should I say? V'choshaita. And therefore the chashash is maybe again in the next moment he's going to die, and therefore retroactively this moment now could turn out to be what? The moment before he died. To which the Gemara says, Rashi goes on to say that it's not a good kasha. The Gemara is going to say, Maskeva Rahpapa. First Rahpapa says, I don't understand what kind of case this is. Mimai di'ihu ma'is beresha. Dilma ihi ma'is beresha. So Rabbi says, see, now you want to tell me what? Now you want to say that in that case, with the retroactivity clause, she has to stop eating truma. Why? Because maybe this moment will turn out to be what? Will turn out to be what? Retroactively, the moment before he dies. So first of all, who says that he's going to die first? Maybe she'll die first. Ela amar abaye lo kasha. Ha Rabbi Meir de lo chayish lemisa. Ha Rabbi Yehuda de chayish lemisa. Oh, so Rabbi says, Sabai comes along and says, the truth is, this is a machlokes. Rabbi says, there's a fundamental machlokes, tanoim, about what? Are we choshishin lemisa or not? Are we choshish that people die? Rabbi says, I know that sounds strange. Of course people die. The question is, are we choshish for misa? Are we choshish for the fact that perhaps people will die now, and therefore, do we craft realities around that chashash? So, I'm sorry. Oh, hold on to that for just a moment. So it says the Gemara, Harabi Udu Harabi the Chayesh Lemisa. I'm sorry. Maskar Elo Amar Abayi Lo Kasha Harabi Meir De Lo Chayesh Lemisa Harabi Yehuda De Chayesh Lemisa. To which the Gemara says Machlokes Tanoim. Rabbi Meir is of the opinion that we are not choshesh for misa, and Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion that we are choshesh for misa. This is Tanabos. Listen to this. We had this case on Friday, and now we're going to go back. The Gemara is going to reshape or reformulate this case. This Nan. What's the Mishnah? Halokiach Yamin Ben Akusim. If one purchased wine from Kusim, and therefore Rabbi say what? The wine is untithed. The wine is untithed. So what's the, and now the case over here is, remember, I don't have utensils to separate out lugin, from to separate out parts of the wine and designate them as tithes. So what could I do? Omer, shnei lugin shani asid lahafish, harehin truma. I say to myself, you know what? The two lugin that I'm going to go ahead and separate out at some future time, they should be truma. Asara 10 lugin maiser rishon, tisha 9 lugin maiser sheni, umechel v'shoset miyad, divrei Rabbi Meir. So we're both saying, remember again, Rabbi Meir is of the opinion that what? That I could go ahead and verbally designate now, and then later on, when I go ahead and physically designate, retroactively, it becomes clear that the ones that I designate now were the ones that retroactively were designated earlier. Rabbi Huda, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon, Osrin. And I will say, Rabbi Huda, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon say it's Osir. Then I will say again, Rashi says, Osrin, why? Remember, we saw this in the Gemara, Shema Yibaka Hanot. Because maybe the barrel breaks. So we'll say, what the Gemara is suggesting over here is that Rabbi Meir who holds that you could separate out now and rely on the separation for first year, meaning rely on the verbal designation and therefore assume that in the future I'm going to have the opportunity to go ahead and physically separate. He holds that what? We're not concerned that the barrel's going to break. The Gemara wants to suggest that in the same way that he's not concerned the barrel's going to break, what else is he not concerned for? That somebody's going to die. Right, so mostly you hear how those two things could kind of come. Meaning he's just not, in other words, Rabbi Meir is a status quo kind of guy. And therefore, again, if the barrel is intact now, we could assume the barrel will be intact for the future. And therefore, you could verbally designate the tithes and ultimately physically separate them out later on. And we're not concerned the barrel is going to break. And we're not concerned that people drop dead. On the other hand, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon, who are concerned that what? That the barrel will break, are also what? Are also concerned that people will drop dead. And therefore what? And therefore the Maisa Gan Abba will say, in this case over here, the same way that Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon will say, no, this doesn't work, you can't designate verbally, rather you have to physically designate. We'll also say that in cases of, let's say, Sha'achas Koda Misasi, we'll also say that the woman can't eat the truma out of concern that the husband will drop dead. Rav Amar, Tirabosai. So therefore, again, that's answer number one. Answer number one to this whole issue is, it's not a contradiction in Mishnayis. Rather, the Mishnayis are reflective of different opinions. Rabbi Meir is not Choshesh from Misa. Rabbi Meir assumes that the status quo, the Chazakah, remains in place. The barrel will remain whole. The husband remains alive. And therefore, that's the Shita. On the other hand, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon will hold. Excuse me. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon will hold. No, we're Choshesh that the barrel will break. And Rechoshesh, ultimately, that people drop dead. Rava Amar, Rava says, Amud Beis, Rava say, now here we go. Now Rava makes a very important distinction. And Rava says like this. Rava says, Shema Meis Lo Chashinan, Shema Yamos Chashinan. So what happens, Rava say? So Rava says like this. There's a distinction, Rava say. What's the distinction? There's a distinction between Shema Meis versus Shema Yamos. This is fascinating. A distinction between worrying about have people died, past tense, or will someone die, future tense. Look at Rashi about for just a moment. Actually, before we get to Rashi, Shema, Rava says, Shema Meis Lo Chayshinan. We're not worried that somebody may have died, but we are worried, Shema Yamos Chayshinan. We are concerned that people will die. Look at Rashi for just a moment. Rashi says, Shema Meis Lo Chayshinan. So Rabbah's saying, in other words, there are two different states of chazaka, says Rabbah. There's a present chazaka, and there's future chazaka. Present chazaka says somebody's alive. Look at Rashi. Dukminan achazaka shenichu chai vegabi koin shav chamedina sayam kevan shelo yirsha einon neaseres ela imkei meis. So Rabbah says, so for example, shaliach takes leave of the husband. Last time he saw the husband was alive. Or, Kohen goes, Shalom Aleichem Daniel. Or, we'll say, Daniel's joining the shir, so make sure I give him a lot of chizuk, Baruch Hashem, tell him he can do it. All right, so what happens? So Shaliach takes leave of the husband, or Kohen husband goes overseas. So we'll say, the chazaka is that he's alive. The chazaka is that he's alive. And until I have concrete proof that chazaka has changed, I have absolutely no reason. So we'll say that's like Nehemiah was saying before, that's chazaka. Chazaka says that present reality is considered to be a continuation of past reality until when? Until when? Until I know unequivocally that circumstances have changed. We'll say that's the definition of chazaka. Present reality mirrors past reality until I know unequivocally that the reality has changed. However, and this is really amazing. Finish the Rashi. Avazu shenosin loget amenas sheyachol sha'achas kodem lemisaso. But Rabbi says, in the case of a man who gives his wife a get, and what's the start? And what's that get will be chal one moment before the husband dies. L'sha' l'shema yamos miyad vaday chashinan. This is amazing. Chazaka is not a predictor of what? Chazaka is not a predictor of the future. I was about to say, if somebody has a chazaka that they're alive now, is that a chazaka they're going to be alive in the future? No. Why? Because I was about to say, there's something else. Remember, one thing we know with absolute certainty, which is right, as Benjamin Franklin said, right? There are two things that you could be sure of in life, and they are, right? Death and taxes, right? So we're not leaving it. We're not dealing with taxes right now. But Rabbi said, one thing is clear, which is what? Everybody dies. So your chazaka does not dictate that you're going to live. Your chazaka dictates that what? That you're alive in the present. But the chazaka does absolutely nothing for the future. In fact, just the opposite. If there's one guarantee in my future, it's that I'm going to die. It's that I'm going to die. So Rava here makes an amazing distinction. Rava wants to say, all chazaka tells me is, when looking in the present mirrors the past. in certain respects, right? Not getting into hashkafa right now, just into halacha. So the present mirrors the past. And therefore, again, if I know the husband was alive, when looking at the status of the husband in the present, I could assume that what? That he is still alive. Therefore, shaliach takes the get from the husband, shaliach goes to deliver to the wife. So in the present, the shaliach could say, the same way I took leave of the husband and he was alive, I could assume in the present he is alive right now, and therefore I could execute my shlichus and deliver the get. But when the husband gives the get to his wife and he says, this is your get, and it will be chal a moment before I die, oh, that's a different case. Because now with the husband, now one thing we know for sure is what Rabbi said, the husband will die. And by the way, we know that, and that has nothing to do with his present chazakah, because the fact that he will die in the future is an absolute certainty. Once I know he's going to die, therefore what? That's where the chashash comes up about now a moment before. I don't know when he's going to die. I don't know, and his chazakah does not help me when knowing when he's going to die, when he's not going to die. Therefore, because the future is uncertain, therefore I'm going to have to be choshesh that what? That what? That every moment is the moment before he's going to die, and therefore the Mishnah Paskin, that if he's a Kohen, his wife may not eat Truma anymore, because this present moment may be the moment before the future moment that he's going to die. This is an incredible, incredible chilek that Rav is making. Shema meis lo chai shinon. When in the present, the chazoka is he's alive. Why? Because the present chazaka mirrors the realities of the past. Shema yamos, the future chashinan. Shema yamos, again, Abbas said, we know everybody dies. In fact, if you want to really, from these in halachic terms, the chazaka of the present is that I'm alive. But the chazaka of my future is what? That I'm going to die. Abbas said, it's a very sobering thought. We all have a chazaka. What's the chazaka? The chazaka is we're all going to die. Abbas said, by the way, you should just know, just as an aside, on a hashkafic level, it's not a morose thing to say we're going to die. Just so you should know, it's very important. In Judaism, death is not a morose concept. Death is actually, sounds strange, is an invigorating, empowering concept. Because what death says is, now that I know that life is a finite, non-renewable resource, it means I need to get my act together and I need to accomplish what I need to accomplish. It's mechazekos. Death is mechazekos to live more meaningful and impactful, not lives, but more meaningful and impactful days. Because literally, again, I don't know how much time I have on this earth. There's no time to waste. There's no time to squander. There's no time to push off the things I need to do till tomorrow. All right, let's go. I need to get my act together now. So that's what the Gemara is saying, is the chazaka now is that I'm alive. The chazaka is now that I'm alive. The chazaka tomorrow? Who knows what tomorrow is? No, there is no chazaka for tomorrow. There's only a chazaka for now. Therefore, Rava says, Shema meis lo chai shinon. When looking in the present, Shliach wants to deliver the get now. The chazaka is husband's alive. But if he says, I'm going to give you a get that's going to be chal one moment before my death, that is no chazaka for. When a person dies, there's no chazaka for. And therefore, again, the wife has to be choshesh that every single moment is now the moment before her husband's death, and therefore she can't teach him. Let me just take all questions at the end. So says the Gemara the following. Amar li Rav Abba bar Masna l'Rava. So Rav bar Masna said to Rav, one second, v'hanod, but what about the case of the barrel of wine? D'chisheyamosu. So what's that? So interestingly enough, the barrel case is like a case of what? Of future will die, right? Because remember, right now the barrel is whole. And therefore, again, the concern is what? Shema yibaka hanod, that the barrel will break in the future. And yet what? Upligi. Now, Bosa, the way Rava wanted to make it sound is that everyone agrees that Shema yamos chashinon, that we are choshesh for death in the future. Therefore, using that logic, everybody should agree that we should be choshesh that what? That the barrel will break. If that's the case, that the barrel will break, Rabbi will say, then what? Then what? Then we should not allow anyone to go ahead and do this verbal designation of tithes now without actively being able to separate out of concern that the barrel will break. And therefore, one nimtz, as we saw on Friday, nimtz shose tvalum afreya. Turns out that you were drinking tevel. To which the Gemara says, Amar Rav Yehuda midiskarta shiny nud the efsha the masalei l'shomer. Bosi, this is an amazing Gemara. No, the barrel's different. Why? Because you could always give over the barrel to a shomer to watch over the barrel. Maskefli mashar. This is a very profound statement. Arvich arvatzarich. So tell me, who's going to watch your shomer? Right, very nice. You're going to give it over to the shomer. Who's going to be shomer on the shomer? In other words, we'll say it's a very profound gemara. What the gemara was saying, what Rabbi Yehuda was trying to say is, oh, I could control the circumstances to make sure the node won't break. To which the gemara responds, you can't control anything, right? You can't control, right? Very nice, you're going to put a shomer. And who's going to put a shomer on the shomer? In other words, I will say, whenever you're dealing with future, it's a very profound gemara. What the gemara is saying is, your present, you could control to a certain degree. Your future, can't control at all. You want to try to leverage the risk of the barrel breaking by putting a shomer on top of the barrel. That's very nice. And who's going to watch your shomer? In other words, there is no way to control future realities. Ella Amurava, listen to this. Shema Meslo Chashinon, Shema Yomos Tanaihi. To which Rabba now wants to suggest, Rabosai, that everyone agrees, Shema Meslo Chashinon, in other words, that there's present Chazaka. Everyone agrees present Chazaka. Present Chazaka says that again, if Shaliach took leave of the husband and the husband was alive, then what? Then what? Husband is still alive. Kohen is married to a Bas Yisrael and goes overseas. Bas Yisrael can eat Truma. Why? Because we assume Kohen is still alive. Everyone agrees that Shema Meis Lo Chayshinon. Everyone agrees that President Chazaka says if we know the husband to be alive, we assume he's still alive. But Shema Yomos, are we Choshesh? Are we Choshesh that the Chazaka changes because of future realities? The Gemara wants to suggest, or now Rava wants to suggest, that in and of itself is a machlokes tanoim. Rabbi Meir will hold Shema Yamos Lo Chayshinon, and Rava says, it's interesting, we're gleaning this, by the way, from a barrel of wine. That's the amazing part over here. Rabbi Meir is going to say, just like we assume that the barrels are not going to break, so too we will assume that what? People will not die in the future. But on the other hand, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yossi will hold, just like we assume that there's the possibility that what? That the barrel will break, so to what? So too we assume that people will die in the future as well. Therefore, again, if there is some type of t'nai that relies on future realities, Rabbi Meir will say we could assume the chazaka applies even going forward. Therefore, according to Rabbi Meir, if a man gives his Kohen gives his wife a get and says, this get will be chal one moment before I die, she is, according to Rabbi Meir, she is permitted to eat truma because there's no reason to assume he's going to die in the next moment. Because Rabbi Meir extends chazaka not just for the present, but what? But for the foreseeable future as well. On the other hand, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon will say, no, chazaka only works for the present. Chazaka does not work even for the foreseeable future. And just as we assume that what? That it's possible the barrel could break in the next moment, we assume that the husband could die in the next moment as well. Therefore, again, the wife already can't eat truma now out of concern that this present moment may turn out to be, in fact, a moment before her husband dies. I'm going to tell you the Shulchan Aruch passage in just a moment. Similarly, again, remember, the Mishnah said, if someone sends a carbon from overseas, so what's that halacha? You could offer up that carbon with the assumption that the owner of that carbon is still alive. But there's another issue, a more technical issue, which is that lemaisa, again, you need smicha. Smicha means a leaning on, right? The owner leans his weight on the head of the animal. You require that right before the offering of the animal. We pass in Abbas say that smicha is taken for shechita, that you have to do smicha leaning on the animal right before the shechita on the animal. So what's going on over here? To which the Gemara says, no, but karban nashim. Abbas say this is a woman's karban. So nashim, women, do not require smicha before offering up a karban. That papa amr or b'chata sa'of. Abbas say bird offering. Bird offerings obviously do not require smicha either. Okay, so fine. So in other words, easy. We got rid of it. Right. This is only talking about a case where it's a carbon that doesn't require smicha. But I'll say the Gemara asks a more fundamental question, which is, why do I need three cases to illustrate the same concept? In other words, we'll say the klal of the Mishnah is that there's a cheskas chayim, that we assume that a person is alive, and present, assume a person is still alive, if at the last known point of contact, the person was still alive. So the Mishnah illustrated this case, this principle in three different ways. With get, with a Bas Yisrael who's married to a Kohen and her husband goes overseas, and with the sending of a carbon from overseas. To which the Gemara says, Utsricha, we need all three cases. Why? Why? The Gemara says, Utsricha, Tiyashmu inon get, because had the Mishnah just taught me this din by get, I would have said, Mishum de la Efshar. See, Rabosai, if you don't hold that there's a Cheskas Chayim by get, then what? As we said before, it is impossible to ever have a case of shlichus by get. Why? Because every single time the shaliach leaves the husband, he has to be choshesh that what? that what? That the husband died. Therefore, again, the only way to ever have shlichus by get is to have a chazaka, to believe the chazaka, the husband's still alive. About truma de efshar imalo. But by truma, Rabbi will say, where what? Where if the kohen husband goes overseas, we could just tell the woman, don't eat truma. Meaning there's other food in this world before besides truma. V'yashmin, therefore again, the Mishnah is teaching truma. V'yashmin and truma. And if the Mishnah would have just told me the case of truma, that we assume that the chazaka is that the husband is still alive, even when he goes overseas. Tizim the law efshar. Because it will say, you could have a case where a woman is married to a kohen, and what? All they have in the house is truma. That's the only food. Therefore, again, there's no possibility for it to subsist on anything else besides truma. But I would have said by carbon, Abosai, since remember, again, the stakes are high. What are the stakes? That there's a concept of chul nazar. Chul nazar means offering up an unconsecrated animal in the Beis HaMikdash, which is a very serious transgression. So I might have thought that when a carbon comes from overseas, if we don't know definitively that the owner is still alive, perhaps we would not offer it up. Therefore, tzricha. Therefore, the Mishnah teaches me that no, when that carbon comes from overseas, even though what? Again, we haven't spoken to the owner in weeks because the carbon came from some faraway location. The chazaka tells me that since at the time that the shaliach took leave of the owner of the carbon, the owner was still alive. Therefore, halacha lemaisa, we assume that the owner is still alive as well. So how do we paskin like this? Halacha lemaisa. So I want to show you something absolutely amazing. So the Rambam here paskins. The Rambam says, okay, this is in Perek Vav, Halacha Chaf Ches, in Hilchos Gerishin. So listen to the wording of the Rambam. V'chein ha-mevi get, v'yaniach ha-ba'chol, lo shahaya zakin. If a shaliach took leave of the husband, he's delivering the get, and when he left the husband, the husband was old or the husband was sick. Okay, so the Rambam paskins that there's a cheskas chayim, that we assume again if the husband was alive at the time that the shaliach left, that we assume that even if it took the shaliach weeks to reach the wife, the husband is still alive. Avalim hinichu goses, rov goses in lemisa. Rosa, if the husband was a goses, so goses, like we said, is someone who's terminally ill and going to die imminently, then we do not assume that the husband is still alive. So interestingly enough, the way the Rambam paskins is if the shaliach took leave of the husband, even if the husband is old and even if the husband is sick, we assume that lamaisa cheska schaim, the chazok is the husband is still alive. The only time, according to the Rambam, that the chazok is no longer there is when if the husband is a goses. Because since the overwhelming majority of gosesin die, therefore again lamaisa, there's no chazok that the husband is still alive when the shaliach reaches the isha. Fine. That's the Rambam. Straightforward. The Shulchan Aruch says something absolutely amazing. So the Shulchan Aruch, this is in Eben HaEzer. So Simon Kuf Mem Aleph Sif Samiches. Listen to this. Get ready. Shaliach Shehevi Get. Ein Chosh. I'm sorry. So listen to this. So Afilu Mazar Venosel Yisha Becheskas Shuchai Afilu Hiniach Zakein Ochola. Okay, so far so good. Shliach takes the get, left the husband was older, the husband was sick. Shulchan Aruch paskins, you could deliver the get under the assumption that the husband is still alive. All right, he goes on. Aval, im heniach goseis lo yitnenu la. But if the shliach took the get from the husband, and the husband was a goseis, the shliach should not deliver that get unless he knows with absolute certainty that what? That the husband is still alive. Why? Sherov goseisim lemisa. Because the majority of gosesim ultimately die, v'im nasnula, and if he gave the get anyway, harizu safik migureshas. Ultimately, again, such a woman is safik. There's a doubtful divorce. Okay, so fine. Listen to this. I will say now. Understand. That's what so far Shulchan Aruch and Rambam saying the same exact thing. Essentially, shaliach takes the get from the husband, even if the husband is old, even if the husband is sick. The chazaka is that he's alive, and therefore the shaliach could deliver the get, knowing the husband is alive. The Yesh Mishalmer says the Shulchan Aruch, but there are those who say the Had the Amrinan Bezokin Dafka Bepachos Mi Ben Pei. Ad Ben Pei. So we'll listen to this. So the Shulchan Aruch adds in a yesh omrim that say that when do we say that if you took the get from the husband and he's old, you could assume he's still alive? That's only when if he's less than 80 years old. However, again, o yoser mikuf, or if he's above 100. Right, I will say why. What's the logic there? Because that's the Gemara said. Kevan de iflig. Once he's differentiated himself from the norm that he's been blessed with longevity, then we assume he's an outlier. He's an aberration, and therefore, again, he comes back to a cheskas chayim. Aba mi ben pei ad ben mea dino kigosis. So I say this is absolutely amazing. So the Shulchan Aruch Paskins that literally again. So the Shulchan Aruch says, if he's below 80, even if that's old already, and even if he's sickly, it's okay, cheskas chayim. Between 80 and 100, so a person has a cheskas goses, which again, you have to be careful, like, happy birthday, right? Happy birthday, the cheskas goses, right? So, but again, but above 100, a person is an outlier. Isn't that amazing? Above 100, at that point in time, we say, Kevan de iflig. So we'll say, so the Beis Shmuel, everybody goes nuts on this. Because, first of all, in general, you should know, when the Shulchan Aruch passed, just in Kvali Hora, when the Shulchan Aruch quotes a halacha and says a yesh misha omer, so generally, he's just quoting an additional opinion. If he says v'chei noagin, then that's how he paskin. If he just, however, quotes an additional opinion, lav dafka, that's how the Mechaber is actually paskining. But it just is exceptionally intriguing that the Mechaber himself is saying, again, that even for old age, the cheskas chayim is until 80. Above 80, you have to assume, ultimately, again, that what? That lemaisa, a person is like a goses. But once a person reaches 100, then kevan de iflig, they're off the charts already, and therefore, again, there's a cheskas chayim. I'm just pointing out to you, also remember, there's also machlokas in what the Mechaber is saying in Rashi. Because what did Rashi say? Rashi said, when do you become an outlier? At 90. Right? So here, so again, there's a machlokas now. Is it 100? Is it 90? But again, I'm just pointing out to you, the Rambam, if you notice, doesn't even mention this. The Rambam does not acknowledge this. According to the Rambam, say if somebody is just a Zakin, it doesn't matter how old you are, 80, 90, 100, if you're just a Zakin, as long as you're not a Goses, the Chazak is your Chayim. Once you're a Goses, the Chazak is Rov Goses in Lemisa. According to the Mechaber, the Cheskas Chayim is until 80, between 80 and 100, you're treated like a Goses. According to Rashi, between 80 and 90, you're treated like a Goses. According to Rashi, at 91, you're Iflig, you're off the charts, and therefore you get back. Your cheskas chayim, it's amazing. According to the Mechaber, like the Yeshum and the Mechaber, at 100 you get back your cheskas chayim, and therefore the get could be delivered. Amazing halacha. Well, say, let's see the Mishnah. Shlosha devarim amar Rabbi Elazar ben Parak tothein chachamim v'kaimu es devarim. There are three things. There are three things that Rabbi Elazar ben Parta said before the chachamim, and the chachamim upheld his words. Number one, al ir shekifa karkum. So we'll say about a city that was surrounded, that was besieged by an army, at a boat that is literally being tossed around turbulent seas, and someone who was being led out to be sentenced, and actually be dinei nefashos for a capital crime. All of these individuals, shein becheskas kayamin, but say all of these people have a chazaka that they are alive. Now remember, what's the common denominator in these three situations? It's all life-threatening circumstances, right? The city is under siege by an army, the boat is being tossed around, is being battered by the turbulent seas, and someone is being led out to be sentenced for a capital crime. The chazaka, all these life-threatening situations, but the chazaka is, a person is alive. However, aval ir shekav shekarkum, but a city that has been captured by a foreign army, again, we'll define the parameters of these halachos, or sina sha'avda bayam, or a boat that has been lost at sea, or vahayotse liharik, or someone who's being led out, not to be sentenced, but what? To be executed, in these cases, no sinaleim chumre chayim b'chumre mesim. We place upon the individual stringencies of the living and stringencies of the dead. How so? So, for example, what does it mean? Stringencies of living, stringencies of the dead. Say, if it's a Bas Yisrael married to a Kohen, then what? Then we assume that Lamaisa, we're Machmir, we say the husband is dead, and therefore she can no longer eat Truma. On the other hand, if she's a Bas Kohen married to Yisrael, the Chumra is what? That he's still alive. Because also remember again, once he dies, she, assuming there's no children, she can go back to her father's home and eat truma. So we'll give her the chumra ultimately that her husband is still alive and therefore she can't eat truma. So Amar Rav Yosef, Rav Yosef said, Lo shanu. Now we only learned the halacha in the Mishnah, which halacha? Specifically, that someone who's being led out to be executed is given the chumras of both being alive and being dead. So Rav Yosef says, we only give that chumra ela be beis din shal Yisrael, only with the Jewish court. With the Gentile court, we assume that once a person's been sentenced to death, then what? They're going to die. Rashi says over here, because in a Jewish court, sometimes even after the verdict has been handed down, nevertheless what? The court sometimes could find grounds to exonerate the individual. So Rabbi Yosef is saying, when does the Mishnah say that if somebody is being led out to be executed, we assume, we give them the chumras of someone who's living and someone who's dead. That's only by Gentile courts. But by Jewish courts, there's the possibility that ultimately they'll still overturn the verdict. So the Gemara says, Amar Le Abaye, Bezen Shal Ovdei Kochavim, Nami Demekabli Shochta. One second, there is still an out with the Gentile court. I will say, what's the out? What's the out? Shochat, bribery. Bribery, right? You can always bribe your way to justice, right? You always bribe, right? Bribe your way to exoneration. You can smear them a little bit. Amar Lei, to which he responded, no. Ki shakli mikamei delachtom porsi shenamag. The basar demichtam porsi shenamag lo shakli. I say, even in Gentile courts, when do Gentile courts accept bribes? That's only before the verdict has been handed down. Once the verdict has been handed down, you can't go ahead and bribe them anymore. And what that would mean is that if somebody's being led out to be executed, according to this version, if somebody's being led out to be executed by a Gentile court, we assume that what? They're as good as dead. They're as good as dead. It's only by a Jewish court where even if somebody's being led out to be executed, there's still the possibility that somebody may find some late-breaking evidence to exonerate them. May say, remember, the Gemara is assuming now that in a Beis Din Shal Yisrael, in a Jewish court, even after the verdict has been handed down to what? To execute the individual, there is always the possibility of Limud Zuchus. There's always the possibility that we'll find some other piece of evidence to be able to overturn the verdict. But yet, the Gemara is a kasha. Let's say the following situation. Let's say there's a guy in town, and witnesses show up and they say, we are made. Two people stand up and give testimony. Right? Me'idin Anu, we testify about Ruvain, Ishploni, that he was sentenced to die in a particular Beis Din, and so and so were the witnesses that sent that based on the testimony, sentenced him to death. What's that locha? Hareze Yaharik. Rabbi said, we will execute someone based on his testimony. Why don't you say that maybe there was the possibility that his verdict was overturned? Rabbi said, listen to this, to which the Gemara says, Dilma, look at Rashi, Hareze Yaharik, Amalo Aminon Shema Matzulo Zuchos Acherikain. Therefore, you see that we don't say that maybe the Bezin found some type of evidence to exonerate him. Shema Midalo Shrikh of Loma Sapkinabachi, to which the Gemara says, Dilma, Boreach Shaini. Rabbi said, if somebody ran away from Beis Din, right? So that generally is a little bit of a red flag. That perhaps, again, there is some level of guilt. So it could be that if witnesses are showing up and saying, you know, Reuven was sentenced to die in that Beis Din, and happens to see that Reuven ran away from that Beis Din, so that could be enough circumstantial evidence combined with what? The actual testimony of the witnesses to say that the guy really was convicted to die. Tashma, Shamim Beis Din Shal Yisrael Shayu Omrim. So that's another braisa. If we heard from a Jewish court, Shayomrim, that they said, Ish ploni meis, Ish ploni narag. So we'll say, if we heard from a Beis Din Shal Yisrael that they testified, so-and-so was killed, right? So-and-so died, so-and-so was killed, Yasiu es ishto. Then I will say, based on the testimony of Beis Din, we would allow his wife to get remarried. Rashi says, Ish ploni meis, Bebezdin misas atzmo. Go mishalaka v'shana bezdin. Fine. So we'll say, if on the basis of testimony of bezdin, we hear that a certain individual was executed, so that is enough to allow his wife to get remarried. On the other hand, mikomantrisin shel ovdei kochavim. Rabbi says, if you hear testimony from the executioner, from a Gentile court, that you hear ish ploni meis, ish ploni nerag, that so-and-so was died, so-and-so was killed, al yasiu es ishto. You may not go ahead and allow his wife to remarry based on the testimony of the Gentile executioner. Says, what are you talking about over here? My meis umay nerag. Rabbi says, what's the meaning of this? What does it mean when it says he died or he was killed? Ile ma meis mamish. If you want to say literally testifying that he died, that literally means died. The nerag nerag mamish, or that he was killed, literally means he was killed. Then even if the Gentile executioner is the one who says this, why would that not be enough evidence to allow the wife to get remarried? After all, hakaim alon, dekol masiach lefi tumo, heimone mehemnile. We have a concept of masiach lefi tumo. Masiach lefi tumo means what? Anytime that a non-Jew gives testimony, and that testimony is unsolicited testimony, he just gives it of his own volition, that testimony, by definition, we believe. Why, Rabosai? Because since he has no reason to lie, he doesn't know that we're relying on the testimony, he doesn't know that we're relying on his word, therefore, by definition, again, that his words are believable, then ultimately we should be able to rely on it. So this is a case of Masiach Lefi Tumo. Even if the information is coming from the Gentile executioner that this man died, we should allow his wife to get remarried based on that. To which the Gemara says, "Ela lav meis yotze lamos neharag yotze leharig." Rather, it must be that what? That when we say that he died, it means not literally die, but rather what? He's going out to die. Or neharag yotze leharig. Or ultimately, again, that he's going to be executed means, that he was executed means he's going out to be executed. V'katani b'beizdin Yisrael, yas yus ishto. So we'll say, what do you see from here? So what do we see based on this braisa? That if a Jewish court testifies that a Jew was sentenced to death, then what? That's as good as saying that what? He's dead. So we'll say, what do you see from here? That when a Jewish court sentences someone to die, then what Rabbi say? The assumption is what? He's going to die. And therefore, again, we do not assume that they're going to find any new testimony to overturn his verdict. So we'll say, this contradicts Rav Yosef, because Rav Yosef was the one who said that the only time we give someone Chumrei Chaim, Chumrei Mesim, is when in a Jewish court. Because in a Jewish court, even after the verdict was delivered, the verdict is not final. There's the possibility they may overturn it. But here you see that in a Jewish court, the verdict is final as well. To which the Gemara says, no. The olam meis mamish, v'nerag mamish. The case over here is no. Not where the Jewish court is testifying that somebody was sentenced to death, but rather, what are they testifying about? That somebody was actually executed. But that's what you said before, is if they were literally executed, then why would you not believe even the Gentile executioners? But yeah, we said before that any time that the Gentile gives testimony, again, of his own volition, he's believed. We'll say, when do we believe Gentile testimony? Only when it's Masiach Lefi Tumo. Masiach Lefi Tumo, we'll say, means two things. Number one, that he's offering it up of his own volition, and he's not offering it up because why? Because we're coaching it, we're coaxing it out of him. Furthermore, again, the only time he's believed is with testimony that he has no sheichas with. What does that mean? The sheichibe? Kihacha, I'm sorry, the lo sheichibe, shenit tefer eslam. We'll say, where the testimony doesn't have any benefit for the Gentile. But Rabbi say what? In situations where Lemaisa, again, they are shaykh to the testimony. In other words, where the testimony does serve their own needs, then they lie. So Rabbi say over here, when the executioner is testifying that what? That so-and-so was executed, then what? So we'll say, that is a situation where the executioner would lie. Why? Look at Rashi. Rashi says over the Shaychi Bey, Ki hacha shemisparim shahar gubadin. Because we'll say, if you're an executioner, again, so it's interesting. So what's the litmus test of like good job performance? Look at your 6-month review, right? So what is your employer looking for, right? And the answer is right? Executions. So therefore, again, when the Gentile executioner says, oh, we killed so-and-so, to which the Gemara says, even if he's offering that information of his own volition, meaning I didn't ask him for it, he's still not believed. Why? Because he would have motivation to lie. Why would he have motivation to lie? Because the more people he says he executed, the better he looks. In other words, Rabbi Sai, that the only time we believe Gentile testimony is A, when it's unsolicited, and B, when the Gentile has absolutely no reason to lie. But in this case over here, where the Gentile does have a reason to lie, therefore what? Therefore, Lemaisa, again, we don't believe him. So we'll stop over here for today. But again, understand what we're leaving off with. What we're leaving off with over here is this testimony of Rabbi Elazar ben Parta. And Rabbi Elazar ben Parta said that in this situation, ultimately, again, where someone is being led out to be executed, Rabbi Elazar ben Parta says, we give that individual chumrei chayim, the chumras of being alive, and the chumras of being, in other words, his status is suffix. Rav Yosef wanted to suggest that Lamaisa, the only time we say that someone has chumrei chayim and chumrei mesim is when? In a Beis Din Shel Yisrael. Because there's the possibility that what? There's the possibility that they may overturn the verdict. But in a Beis Din Shel Akum, once the individual ultimately has been judged for death, we assume that once the verdict has been delivered, the verdict will be carried out and the person is as good as dead. Emir Tzachim will stop over here. We'll see tomorrow. We'll see tomorrow that the Gemara is going to begin tomorrow with a new version of Rav Yosef's Psak Halacha. But also just a reminder that tomorrow is Rosh Chodesh. Emir Tzachim b'shalatol mutzlachos. So we begin the daf at 5:45. Shachris is at 6:30. And Emir Tzachim will continue with Mesilas Shalom, God willing, on Tuesday. Shkoyach.
We have a rental here every month.